Late Show with Becky Want.
On your local BBC radio station.
And a very good evening. Andy Mossack, who is from London, who has a business called tripreporter.co.uk, and it's all about travel. How are you?
I'm very good.
Are you?
Wouldn't believe, yeah, because I'm actually not in London today. I'm literally away.
Oh, how very exciting. I didn't know. Where are you?
I'm in the lovely Swiss ski resort of Verbier.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I don't know if you can see this bookcase behind me. It's the most amazing place. It's a stunning Verbier exclusive chalet. Right?
Oh,
get
my
this.
Lord.
I've got to, I literally got to tell you, 5 bedrooms, an indoor pool, a spa, a steam room, hot tub, cinema, and private chef.
And it's all.
I'm not going to say anymore.
And it's all free for you because you're doing a review on it.
I am. I'm working really hard.
Oh, my. I have to say, I love the fact that you've stopped and you've gone, no, I'm sorry, you know, Verbier private chef, I'm doing the night shift on the Late Show.
Yeah.
I love
it. And I'm an hour ahead of you.
Oh, really? So it's the middle
it's
of...
It's already tomorrow.
Listen, thank you so much, Andy. How lovely.
You're welcome.
You've made me green with envy. So Steph is with us in Blackpool. So tell me about your abode. Where are you, Steph? What's it like where you are?
Well, I'm not in Verbier, darling.
Aren't you, darling? No.
I'm not, sweetie.
No.
So yeah, I'm in Blackpool.
You got an indoor swimming pool?
Well, I did have a leak in the sink, but I don't think that counts, does it?
Have you got a private chef?
Well, I could do with one.
I know.
As you know, I'm rubbish at cooking.
Wouldn't that be nice?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my goodness. Andy, are you there on your own enjoying it, or have you got, you know, someone with you?
No, we've got there's 4 journalists altogether and 3 people from the holiday company that's doing it.
You know, if you ever need anybody, I'm a journalist. You know that. And
I know.
And Steph could basically pass as a journalist, couldn't you, Steph?
You mean I write?
Yeah, she writes.
Yes.
Well,
okay, let's have a party. Let's do it. Yeah.
She writes, I speak. What more do you want? Oh, for goodness sake, I'm so envious. But honestly, so you're keeping them all awake, having this confab with us?
Oh, no, they've all gone to bed.
I know. And it's probably so huge that they're in a different wing of the place. Amazing. Oh, my goodness, that's amazing. Right, let me ask you this. Oscar-nominated film, The Brutalist, which I keep reading about, and I think, oh, that sounds interesting, has been released in cinemas, but, and this is the thing that puts me off massively, it's 3 hours, 35 minutes long. So, Steph, could you sit there without fidgeting or needing the loo or whatever for 3.5 hours in the cinema?
Absolutely not. I've got a really, really short attention span. I'd need plenty of breaks and copious amounts of popcorn.
Yeah. And of course your Prosecco always.
Absolutely.
Have you got it there? Prosecco. She's got a glass of Prosecco. I love that. Are you having, because obviously you're on a jolly, Andy. Have you got a little drinky there?
Yeah, I have. Look, water.
Oh. No.
I'm a pro.
It's gin, that. I'm not having it.
Yeah,
it's gin. It is. So, Andy, 3.5 hours in the cinema. Would you?
I'm with Steph. No. Don't get me started on this. I mean, I don't mind a long film as long as it's, you know, as long as it's stimulating and entertaining or thrilling all the time. If it's like a slow burn and just an opportunity for the director, you know, to sort of get arty and creative, yeah, bores me. 3.5 hours, really? Honestly,
it's too long, isn't it? I mean, I think it's too long. I mean, that put me off. What was the other one that was that long? The Irishman. And I had to wait till that actually came on the television, and then I had to watch it in 2 nights because it was too long, to be honest. Right, I'll be back with you both after Coldplay and Paradise on The Late Show. Hey. And Paradise on The Late Show. Let's go back to our night shifter. Steph is from Blackpool and she's a writer and a performer, actually. Andy is a travel expert based in London, but at the moment he is in Verbier. I mean, it takes my breath away. Actually, just played Coldplay. Somebody asked me, who are you going to see? The two big gigs this year are Coldplay and Oasis. And I said the one I would really, really like to see is Billy Joel and Rod Stewart together. And they're doing a gig at the Yankee Stadium in sometime this year. I don't quite know when. And I know that because I got an email saying you can buy pre-tickets, you know, before they go on general sale. I won't even begin to tell you how much they were. But anyway, that would be my shout. Steph, Coldplay or Oasis or Billy and Rod together?
I think Billy and Rod, actually.
Do you?
What a combo.
I know. We could have a right good night out, couldn't we? You could get your Prosecco in your handbag.
Oh, darling, it'd be fabulous.
What about you, Andy? Coldplay, Oasis or Billy and Rod?
No, I think I'm agreeing. Yeah, I think Billy and Rod. Yeah, definitely.
Well, knowing you with your globetrotting, you'll probably be offered free tickets.
I can always hope. Yeah. Has he dumped Elton John then, Billy Joel? Didn't they do a twin thing touring together?
Did they? I don't know. I'm sure I would have. Maybe. Can't remember that. But I've been lucky enough to have seen Billy Joel, because he's my absolute idol. He's number one, actually, for me. And I've been lucky enough to see him. And I will never forget him at Wembley playing Piano Man. And he was and the whole of Wembley, you know, obviously singing every single word of the song. It was just unbelievable. Steph, what's the best gig you've ever been to?
I haven't really been to many. But I just have to say, sort of talking about Billy Joel and Piano Man, when my youngest son was at school, he taught himself how to play Piano Man. He taught himself the piano and he taught himself the harmonica.
Oh, wow.
And he performed it. Oh, I'll have to send you the video. It was amazing. Performed it at school. It was just unbelievable. He taught himself to play the harmonica in a week.
Oh my goodness. And where is he now? What stage is he on now?
Oh, he's studying law now. He's gone all posh.
Oh, really? Studying law. Listen, I tell you what, I am mixing in very grand circles on this Tuesday night. Right, this is Tina Turner. What's love got to do with it? And then the midnight news. And then more from our lovely night shifters. Talking about him before the news. Well, that was yesterday, of course. Sir Rod, magnificent at 80 years old. Pav in Leicester said, what a tune to start the morning. He is a legend. He certainly is. And it is the morning. It is as if by magic Wednesday has rolled round again. Hey, happy hump day. Your standout song, George Michael, Praying for Time, which is just stunning. Also, gorgeous music between now and 1 o'clock. Donna Summer, Gilbert O'Sullivan, Elaine Page and Barbara Dixon together. Now, back to our night shifters. Steph from Blackpool, who is a writer. And Andy from London, who is, well, he's also a writer. He is tripreporter.co.uk. And he is, as we speak, reviewing A Swanky Place in Verbier. Can't wait to read the review. I think I know what you're going to say, though. I think he's going to give it 10 out of 10 by the sound of things. Colin in Carlton has joined us and said that the film The Brutalist, and you're right because I'd forgotten about this but I read it, has got an interval. So Steph, when was the last time you went to a film where there was an interval?
Oh, I don't know, 1975 maybe.
Do you remember? Yeah, you used to kind of go down in the interval and get a little tub of ice cream, didn't you?
Ice cream?
Yeah. I used to love that with a little wooden spatula spoon thing. Oh, yeah. I used to love that. And they did used to. And I mean, I don't remember this, but they used to sell cigarettes in cinemas as well. in the interval. So yeah, apparently, thank you, Colin, for letting us know that. And Ruthie is with us in Dover, and she said, best gig ever, Student Union, Belfast, incredible string band. Took days to come back to earth. Do you know them? I don't actually, Ruthie, but I've just looked them up. The incredible string band. She said, those were my days. Right, I think I know what you're going to say here, Andy, but Brits lose their sense of adventure from the age of 36, according to a new survey. This is because we're tired, because we're financially pressured, because we've got increased responsibilities. So we are much less adventurous as we get older. Despite this, over half are eager to rekindle their sense of adventure when it comes to 2025 goals. I mean, Andy, have you always been adventurous, or did you get more adventurous when you got older?
That's a good question. I think I've always wanted to be a little bit alternative and never really like slipping into a repetitive routine, you know, which is actually very easy to do, isn't it? I think as creatures, we are creatures of habit. And I just think with work and leisure, we can get into that kind of repetitive thing. But I honestly think we're all very capable of being adventurous and spontaneous. I mean, when we're tourists, the first thing we do is go out and have a good time, don't we?
Yeah.
Do you not think?
Yeah.
Can't wait to go out, you know, go
explore.
Out on the ash or whatever.
Yeah. You know. I love, first thing I do whenever I go anywhere, although I do tend to go back to the same place, which isn't very adventurous, but the first thing I do is to kind of go out and explore. I love doing that. Steph, has your sense of adventure faded? It probably hasn't, actually, given what you're doing now.
Well, to be honest, I mean, before I had children, I kind of had no fear, and If I went to a theme park, there wasn't any ride I wouldn't go on. But as soon as I had children, I kind of my sense of adventure went, and I've become very cautious. I won't go on scary rides, and I certainly am not going to do a skydive when I hit 80. So I was surprised you there, Becky.
Yeah, well, no, but you do things that scare you, though, don't you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I suppose going on stage and performing in front of people scares me before I go on, but I do it.
That's what I mean. That's a sense of adventure. It doesn't have to be anything active. It can be just like challenging yourself and pushing yourself, can't it, really?
Yeah, definitely. And I do things to challenge myself, and, you know, but in terms of doing anything scary, no, I won't do anything scary.
I know what you mean, although for me, never say never. I remember once being asked to do a skydive for charity. It was a good few years ago now. My mum was alive. But I mean, I was about 40, you know. I was a grown up, and they asked me if I would do it. And I told her I was thinking about doing it. And she said to me, "You're not doing it. That's it." Like, well, I was 40. But I mean, I was a grown up. And I said, "But I can make my own." No, you're absolutely not. I am forbidding you from doing it. I went, all right then. So I didn't actually do it because my mum said I couldn't. Right, John Farnham, you're the voice, and then final words with our lovely night shifters. John Farnham and you're the voice on The Late Show. Let's go back to Blackpool and to Verbier for a final time. Actually, I did have a night shifter a couple of weeks ago who was in Brazil, and I thought he was in London as well, but he's like, no. I said, that's a different background. He went, yeah, I'm in Brazil. I'm like, okay. Right. So I do like this story. A care home resident was fulfilled a lifelong dream. She was presented with a Royal Naval cap to mark her 100th birthday. Margaret Gray revealed to staff at a care home that she'd always longed to follow in her father's military footsteps. She said she too had been offered the chance to serve in the Navy, but if she'd done it, she would never have become a teacher. But I love stories like that, and she got her Royal Naval cap. So, Steph, big question. Do you have a lifelong dream?
Well, obviously, my lifelong dream is to write a book and then get to go on the television and talk about it.
Oh, really? Is it?
Well, it's whale watching actually, but you know, you've got to try, haven't you?
Well, no, why would you not? You've got to have. There's no reason that you couldn't. I mean, Wax Whips and My Hairy Bits has done very well, hasn't it?
It has. It's been the number two best-selling book out of all the books on Amazon. It's beaten Richard Osman in the book charts. It's being made into a short film, but I'm self-published, Becky.
Yeah, I know, but you know what? HarperCollins will come knocking on your door any time now. I can feel it.
Well, you know, I hope you can but dream, love, can't you? You can but dream.
Well, you know, nothing wrong with dreaming. You've all got to have dreams. Andy, do you have a lifelong dream?
I do, and I think you're going to laugh because I really, really would love to walk out on match day at Spurs.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that.
As one of the mascots. I want to be a mascot. I want to, with the players, I want to wear the kit. I want to have a little kickabout before the game, you know, and then maybe just come on and take a penalty.
forgive me, and football is not my thing, but aren't mascots small children? Mostly.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. That's why it was a bit stupid. I realised that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could still be a big mascot. You know, why not?
Have you ever been on what? Who is it? Spurs that you support? Spurs,
yeah.
Have you been on the?
For my
have
sins.
Have you ever been on?
No.
On the pitch. Yeah.
I've toured the stadium. I've done the tour, but I might have walked on the touchline a little bit, but I've never actually got onto the hallowed turf. No.
Have you always supported them?
Yeah, I went with my best friend's father. He took us when we were about seven, and it's fantastic, you know, once bitten, that's it.
I know.
And they used to pass us all down to the front, you know, like they used to pass all the kids across everyone's shoulders, you know, put us down right by the right on the front.
Imagine the olden days. Is there, I know you don't like football, Steph, is there football in your family, because you've got a family of boys, haven't you?
Yeah, just don't talk to me about football, Becky.
Is there one team that is the common passion?
Well, obviously, they all support Blackpool.
Yeah.
But literally, they will watch any football. It doesn't matter who's playing, they'll watch it.
I know. My husband will watch anything that involves a ball, to be honest with you. It doesn't just have to be football.
Mine are the same.
Yeah.
In fact, they'll watch anything. Darts, snooker, football, hockey, you name it, it's a sport, they'll watch it.
Exactly. How lovely to talk to both of you, especially Andy. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
From your holiday. Oh, sorry, from your workplace.
Get the champagne out now.
Take care. Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.